Hello, my love. Welcome to the Fairly Bold podcast. In a polarized world, many women are stuck in doubt and analysis paralysis because their dreams don't look like the stereotype around them. That's why we are unpacking the beliefs we have about womanhood, identity, and purpose, so you can feel confident about taking your next bold step and ditch the overwhelm. I'm your host, Eugenia Wu, but you can call me E. I'm so happy that you are here. Welcome, my love. I hope you're doing amazing. I hope you're having an amazing summer. If you are in summertime, if you are in the northern part of the world, if not, I hope the winter is not treating you too bad. I am so happy that you're here. My name is Eugenia. You can call me E. There's people who also call me Eugenia, which is easier for English speaking people. So whatever works best for you. Today's episode is so, so good. My guest and I are talking about failure, and I feel like that's a topic that we want to, or we like to brush over. We don't want to give it time, and it's so important. I'm going to tell you more about the episode in a minute, but first, I need to tell you this little disclaimer. There was an issue recording my audio during our conversation, so for some reason, my high-quality microphone wasn't recording, and the audio was recording directly to my laptop. So like I was speaking and my microphone didn't record, but my laptop did the recording, which, you know, isn't great. A little echoey. It's not the best quality. I tried playing with it, but it's not the best. So that's my little disclaimer. I was thinking, should I redo this interview? Should I email Paola, try to have to do it again? But from the beginning, this podcast was about two people. You, my listener, and my guest. So I honor my listener by giving you great information, giving you inspiring content. And I honor my guest by highlighting the best of their experience, making them sound good, giving them the opportunity to correct themselves if they want to, giving them a safe space. So that's how I honor my guest. That's my guiding principle, you could say. And this interview was so good that I didn't want to risk hurting the amazing content just so I could sound better. I didn't want to remove anything from such an incredible and inspiring and motivating interview. It was so good. So I guess it's kind of funny that as we're talking about failure, I'm having to deal with this minor hiccup just as I'm launching podcast management services. So I was like, great, perfect timing to have this happening, but that's fine. We move on, and thankfully I was having Paola in my ear as I was editing the whole time, so she could remind me, even if she doesn't know, to move forward and just think about the amazing content. Anyhow, let's jump into what matters, our topic for today, which is using failure as fuel. With my incredible guest, Paola Suarez, a former journalist and national news producer whose stories have appeared on Univision, ABC News, and Telemundo, among other major news outlets. Now she's the host of the newly launched But First She Failed podcast, the first and only podcast that focuses on speaking to trailblazing women that are industry leaders about moments of failure, quote unquote, and how those moments propel them to where they are today. Paola is on a mission to normalize the idea of failure because her own personal story of fear of failure. Now she's committed to helping others redefine the idea of failure so they can chase their bold dreams. And I love that that's her bio because we are on Fairly Bold. So this is perfectly on brand. Thank you, Paola, for that incredible bio. Paola is also a wife, mama to sweet and very active one-year-old boy, and a Chicago girl that's made Miami home. After this interview, if you love Paola as much as I know you will, please make sure to follow her on Instagram at butfirstshefailed. And I recommend taking her newest quiz. You can find that on her bio. And the quiz is Your Boss Woman Profile. This quiz will help you gauge what your boss woman personality is and how it compares to where you currently are. It will show you the work situation where you would mostly thrive and why, and show you what to do or what to look out for in each situation. I, surprisingly, am a free bird. I am a free agent. I love my freedom. I'm not a corporate babe. So When I took the quiz, I was like, Paola, this is amazing. This is exactly me. So grab your coffee, your tea, or your wine, if you're lucky, and let's welcome Paola Suarez to the Fairly Bold podcast. Welcome, Paola, to Fairly Bold. I am so excited to have you here. I've been trying to get you on my podcast for, I feel like, 3 months. And finally, the day has come. People, this amazing woman who I have a huge laundry list of things to talk about is here. Welcome to Fairly Bold.
Oh my God, you're too kind, Eugenia. Thank you so much for having me. Like I said, it's an honor and a privilege that I get to be on your podcast. Thank you so much. I'm a big fan of Fairly Bold and I listen to every episode, so I'm really excited to be on here. And regarding the 3 months, I know it's been crazy. It's my baby got sick and it's just been crazy, crazy few months. But thank you so much for your patience and thanks. I'm excited to be here.
I just want to say, and I always talk about this friend that I have that really inspired this second season. And this friend is a friend who was afraid to launch her podcast because she had a different vision. And the day she did, she reached top 50 on the podcast. And I know that you're not going to say that because you're too modest. So I'm going to say it for you. Paola is that friend that really showed me how you can make massive changes one bold step at a time. And we're going to get into your story, but I really thank you because I know that you shaped, in a way, you inspired this season of the podcast because of your boldness in a very humbling way. You didn't go from one day to the next changing everything.
Thank you so much. My gosh, like I feel so, I'm so honored to be here, and you've inspired me so much throughout, the seasons and watching you. And it's been, I'm like so humbled right now that you said all that, because it's been inspiring to watch you too. And just seeing you like operating and doing all these things with the podcast, and you've definitely been a voice in my life. So I'm just, my gosh, I'm really excited to be here. And thank you so much. I'm excited for all of this. I'm excited for this season as well.
Thank you, Paola. And today we're talking about failure. And first of all, you are the only person who can talk about failure and make you leave the conversation excited. So don't tune out. It's going to be a good one. You are the host of the But First She Failed podcast, and you are on a mission to redefine failure. And it comes through your own experience of failure, which I found very interesting. You talk about it on your first episode, everyone who goes to your podcast needs to start on that episode because that sets the tone for the whole podcast. But can you make a little summary here for maybe people that haven't heard your story of that journey of failing and then finding a new level of success?
Yeah, of course. I talk a lot, so it may not be the shortest, but here's definitely my story is that, ever since I was young, I've always dreamt of being a reporter. That's what I always dreamed of since I was 12 years old. And so, I went to school for journalism, for broadcast journalism in Chicago. And as soon as I graduated, I got this amazing opportunity, God opened these doors, and my dream company, which was Univision and working in national news, and that opened up, right? And so my story is that I moved across the country at 24. I had very little money in my account. I had almost nothing actually when I moved, and I had credit cards. And you know how it is when you're first graduating from college and just starting out this new, adventure in your life. And so with big dreams, I moved across the country from Chicago to Miami, and I started working in national news. And so I worked for a show. It's kind of like the equivalent of 2020, but in Spanish. So it's called Aquí Ahora. And I was there. It was an amazing opportunity. I was able to work with some of the most amazing names in the, in the industry, such as Jorge Ramos and María Elena Salinas and Rodriguez, and these big, these big names. Yeah, it was a really amazing experience to get to. It was like another school for me. I feel like it was like almost like a straight into like a master's or something. Like, it was really cool. So I went there and I was brand new to this industry. I loved it. Such a cool experience. I got to, you know, sit in on some of the coolest interviews, like Ricky Martin, when he did this like tell all interview that was, he kind of, you know, talked about everything and just really cool, you know, different cool celebrities and be a part of that. And also, you know, crime stories and inspirational stories of regular people that had done amazing things. And it was just such a cool experience, right? To get to be there next to Sábado Gigante and all these shows that I had grown up seeing. You know? And so I was there for 4 years and it was an amazing experience. I learned so much and, you know, I was in my early 20s and my mid 20s and, you know, I felt like the sky's the limit. And when I was 4 years into it, ABC News at the time, they created a channel with Univision and it was this brand new, you know, state of the art, new news station and new news channel, right? It was like created for millennials and it was this really cool thing. It was really the talk of the town at that time, right? The talk of the industry, not even the town. It was like everyone in my industry was talking about it. It was such a cool time. And I had the amazing opportunity to take on a new position. So I got a promotion from Univision to work at their new channel in English. And it was such a cool experience and, you know, brand new company, billions of dollars by some of the biggest, you know, names and news were in it, you know, and it was such a cool experience. I was there for a year. But in that year, there were a lot of moments that were not so cool. And if I could backtrack a few steps too, my amazing experience at Univision was amazing. But of course, there were, you know, I always say this to be, you know, show both sides of everything, right? When you're living in your dream, there's scary moments, right? And intimidating moments. And there were moments when I cried and I worked hard and, you know, I worked until 4 a.m. and I would cry in the bathroom stall because something went wrong, you know, during my workday. And, you know, and I think that that's normal in any industry, but I didn't want to say it was all peaches, you know, because that's, mm-hmm. that's the way life is. Right. But, when I was at the new channel, that is the new network, you know, there were a lot of things going on, a lot of changes. And well, to make a long story short, a year after I got there, I was let go of my position. And I say let go because it's the most beautiful way to put it. the way that I can accept it. It actually took me years to, it was so funny because before, for years I would elude it. I would say, oh, I used to like, I would say that I was let go, but you know, cause you can be laid off and you can be fired. Right. And they're different. They're slightly different, right?
What reason did they give you to let you go?
Well, I wasn't a good fit for the show that I was in. And the writing was on the wall. I think you always know. Actually, we had this conversation offline recently, right? That sometimes we can see scenarios in the work situations where we're just like, this isn't a good fit, right? And like, you just know it, you know, because you know it, you know, and maybe it's not the best fit for a multitude of reasons, right? And in that situation that I was in, it just wasn't a good fit, the role that I was in, right? And so the writing was on the wall. I already, you know, I kind of knew. It is what it is, but there were a lot of different like factors, you know, that, and I knew it was coming. Right. So I had a feeling, you know, I had a feeling it was coming, but, when it happened, I was so shocked, right. That I was like, oh, I was given a severance pay. And in my head, it was like, nothing like this had ever happened to me. Like I had been working since I was 15 and every job that I ever had, you know, even, you know, before in high school through college and through, you know, I think 28 at the time, through, you know, my 20s, every job that I had always left it for another job that I had gotten. And it was always a really easy interview. And it was always like, you know, this great experience, you know, and this was the first time that I was being told that they don't need me anymore. Right. And yeah, it was such a blow to me. And I can say it now, but it's still a process. But I was fired, you know, essentially. I wasn't laid off, you know, because even though they were doing massive layoffs, my specific situation, I was let go from this company. So I was technically, I guess you can say, fired, you know. And I talk about that actually in the podcast in the first episode, how I didn't come to terms with that, you know, saying I was fired. I'm still not 100% comfortable with it. And it's all these years later, but yeah, I was fired. And then I had the realization a few days before I did my first episode for the podcast, but I was fired from that position. And for me, it was just the most devastating thing ever. It was, you know, I say I didn't feel like I failed. Instead, I felt like a failure, right? Mm. It felt so deep. It felt so true.
Oh, yes.
You know, and
especially for a high achiever, because I feel like you are very great and you are very remarkable at everything you do. You and your husband both are very remarkable people. So I can imagine that when you have high standards for yourself, being told that something is not the right fit, sometimes you want to be the right fit for the wrong role just to be good at it.
Oh, 1,000%, especially back then. I wanted to be, I think when you're operating in insecurity and to that level of insecurity, because my identity was in that season, my identity was found in my job, right? So it's like my worth was tied up in my role, right? Like, oh, I have this cool title because I work for this cool company, or I am important because of this. And that's such an unhealthy mindset, you know? But I think, like I was saying, when you operate in insecurity to that level, it's at such a high level. When you really don't know yourself and you're really operating in insecurity, in such a deep level of insecurity and imposter syndrome and all those things, you don't really know who you are, right? So you're trying to be everyone and everything. So you're trying to be good at booking, in, you know, in the case of this position, I want to be good at booking, at bringing celebrities on the show. I want to be good at every little, you know, producing, at this, at that, at writing, at this. Like you have such almost unrealistic expectations because you don't really know who you are, and the imposter syndrome and the insecurity runs so, so deep that you're going to try to be, you feel like you have to be good at everything, right? It's so funny because maybe like 6 months after I left that, after that happened, like that's a journey, and I can go into that more, but it took me a while to get over that failure, and it was definitely a season. And about five months after I left that role, maybe it was sooner, maybe 3 months after I left that role, I actually started a blog, and it was kind of like, I'm going to go out and do this entrepreneurial thing, and I'm going to start this blog. And it was called Redefine News. And it was like Christian celebrities, Christianity in the mainstream culture. And I went out and I started this blog, and I remember I was super excited about it. And I created these business cards, right? And I got them printed because my husband's like, oh yeah, you need a business card. You're going to go to this conference. Like, you need them, whatever. I got them printed. He didn't look at them or anything, right? And we go to pick them up, and he looks at them and he's like, babe, these are the ugliest things ever. And I was like, really? It didn't hurt my feelings. And I had this epiphany moment go off in my head. It was the weirdest thing. I had this epiphany moment that it went off, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not a designer. Oh my God, I'm not a designer. And it was like the most glorious, liberating thing. And I couldn't even understand it at the time, but it was my first step of realizing and being okay with not being good at everything, right? And that was like my first thing. Like, I'm not a designer. I am not good at design. My husband's great at design. He's got a good eye for aesthetics. I don't so much, you know, he has a way, but you know, and for me, for some reason, because I had been trying to be everything when I was at that previous position, I was literally trying to be, like you said, good at everything, even things that weren't for me, that I wasn't supposed to be good at, you know? And when I realized and had that epiphany and had that moment, I was like, oh my God, I'm not a designer. And that's okay. That's one that like closes my limit, it gives me like a limit, which is healthy for me, right? Like, I don't need to explore the designer route because that's not what I'm called to do, you know? And I don't know, for me, it was the most liberating thing. And I always think back to that day, and I was like, wow, that was such a beautiful moment. It was like the beginning of this journey that I started walking, right?
And what happened with that blog? I feel curious now.
Yeah, I know. Not much, honestly, because I think I was still, you know, wanting to go back into, you know, corporate journalism so bad in that season. And I also had a lot of other things I was dealing with. So when I left that position, like I said, it wasn't something that happened. Like I felt like a failure, right? And I would say I went into a depression, I can say, because I was just kind of so shameful and so ashamed of what had happened that I started kind of hiding from all my old colleagues. I did everything that you're not supposed to do, right? Like, if this happened and I was in a healthy mindset, I would have been like, oh, you know what? Let me call. I've been in this industry for 5 years and I know X amount of people. I knew so many people, right? And I was in the same city. I could have called a million people and been like, hey, this happened to me. Do you have an opportunity with the company you work for or, you know, the station? And, you know, I kind of got it moving. But instead, I isolated myself. I was ashamed and I didn't want to associate myself with anyone in my industry. All my old colleagues were like, hey, let's go get coffee. Let's go do the. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. Like I was dodging it at any extent, right? And I did the complete opposite of what you're supposed to do, right? So I stayed in that. So because I was isolated, I was like, I'm just going to do my own thing apart from anyone, not ask for help from anyone. And so I started this blog. And I think in that season, I was just so overwhelmed with this feeling of failure, with those lies, right? Like feeling like a failure, feeling like I wasn't good enough, feeling like, you know, all that doubt, right? Because now that I had been let go, the imposter syndrome was even more real, right? Now I'm like, oh my God, you're really not good at journalism. You're really not good at creating content because you were let go from this position, you know? Instead of being like, oh, it just wasn't a good fit. I'm still good at this thing. I still want to stay here or do this thing. I ran away from it, you know? And with that, the blog, I did it for a few months. I even went to this really cool conference in LA with like different Christians that are, you know, different journalists and people in the media industry that happen to be Christian. And it was a cool event. And then I came back and I don't know, I think I was so overwhelmed with everything going on in life that I kind of like let it go and it died. It was so sad, but
It's so interesting because it sounds like you were your worst enemy. I feel like no one is as harsh on you as you are, and we are, honestly, on ourselves. But I wonder how did you get your mojo back? Was it because we see on Netflix movies that these characters go through something horrible, then a pop song brings them back up and they are fine 5 minutes later, right? So we expect that we go through something traumatic, then we just eat ice cream, listen to Britney Spears or whatever, and then we're gonna be fine. And I'm guessing that for you didn't happen that way. Getting your confidence and the ability to open your saying something again, because there's so many interesting things that you have to say. I'm so glad that you're back at it.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. No, 1,000%. I had that misconception too, right? Because of, like you said, the movies. I was like, I'm going to be sad for a week and then I'm going to be okay with this. And no, I wasn't sad for a week, you know? And I say that and I did all the wrong things in the beginning. And that's why I feel like and I had really unhealthy mindsets. And that's a whole other thing, like really like deep rooted beliefs that were wrong, you know? And because of that, I stayed in that for a long time. Like it wasn't like a few days. I wish it was a few days that I felt like a failure or a few weeks, but no, it lasted a few years actually. Like for a few years, no matter, even though I was trying to go back into it, and I eventually did go back into TV for a little bit. I was at Telemundo for a show and it ended up they ended up pulling the plug, but that was a great experience because it wasn't me. It was like the show. And it was such a, I feel like God knows what you need, you know? And that was like a little like clue, like, no, you're so good at this. Like, I'm going to bring you back out of nowhere. You're going to get this opportunity. You're so good at this, you know? And it made me feel so alive. And from there, I took other little steps, right? It was like a healing process. But, you know, when I stopped doing the wrong things, I started getting more into community. I started more, you know, doing, there's like a whole list of things that I did to kind of overcome this. And it was a process for many years, right? And I feel like, you know, my heart had to change and a lot of things had to happen. But it was like a little trail too, right? Like I went back into the industry for a little bit and they canceled the show, right? But then I got kind of a little bit of confidence and I was like, you know what? I am good at this thing. Like it wasn't me. Like I was so respected in that show and people were great with me and it wasn't me, you know? And that really helped me a lot. And from there, I felt like, my gosh, I need another healing. Like at the time, I didn't know it was healing, but my dream was always to be a reporter, right? And when you're a reporter, you have to do this thing called a demo reel, which is basically like a video of you doing news stories, right? Being on camera, doing news stories and doing stand-ups, being like, hey, I'm reporting from here, blah, blah, you know, so news directors can see you. And so I had, when I worked at Univision, I worked on doing it and I never actually sent it out. And I always had this regret, like, man, what would have happened if I would have done it when I was back at Univision, and I should have done that. I had so much regret, right? And it just so I had this conversation with my husband. I was like, man, I really feel like I need to do this. I need to take my own money and do a demo reel. Like, even though I'm at this, I think at this time I was like 30 or 31, you know, and that's kind of older for a reporter, right? Usually these are things you do in your early 20s. And so I was like, I just need to do it. And so a great friend of mine who's a reporter locally in Miami, now she's on national news. She helped me. She's like, I'm going to help you. She was great. You know, she helped me kind of, you know, with the resources and everything like that. And I was able to create, you know, a demo reel. And once I had it done, I had this sense of accomplishment, right? And I sent it to a few people, a few news directors, and nothing happened from there, right? And like we had a family thing that happened, an illness in our family, and just like things were on hold. But the simple act of doing that thing, I feel like it healed me in a way that I, like now in retrospect, I see like I needed that, right? I needed to send it to a few people and kind of get that closure. And at the same time, all these other things are going on in our family. But when I sent it off, nothing ever happened from that.
Yeah.
I feel like my heart started changing, and I my faith plays a big role, and I feel like God changed my heart. And I feel that all of a sudden I got a new vision of what I wanted to do with my life. And I started kind of seeing new inspiration. For example, I saw Jenna Kutcher, which I know you and I have talked about. I love Jenna Kutcher. And when I saw what she was doing, I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. Like, you know, I for the first time ever, my dream, like I could see a life that was different than just being a national news reporter, which was always my dream, you know, and I was stuck to that dream because it had to be that dream the way that I wanted it. It had to be that way, you know. And when I got that new revelation and I saw this along with a bunch of other things, so that I don't ever think anything's like one single thing, right? Simultaneously, my husband is an entrepreneur and he was working from home, and he has the flexibility to, you know, run his businesses from home. And if he wants to do a meeting here, a meeting there, like he, or a lunch date, or go play golf, you know, he has the flexibility to do that. Right. And I also have other friends that are entrepreneurs, and just being around them. And then last year we moved into the same building, and being around them and seeing the flexibility they had, it's like all of a sudden something shifted in me. And I was like, I don't even want to be in the corporate space. I always wanted to be corporate. And something shifted in me and my dreams just changed, you know? And it kind of gave me the confidence. I felt like it gave me the confidence to go back after this thing that I had wanted to do. Like, I think you and I talked about this like 2 years ago, right? This is something, the podcast was something I wanted to do 3 years ago, you know? But it gave me more of the confidence to just start taking steps towards it.
I love that story. And I am not even thinking a lot, because I just wanted to hear, because I feel so related to what you are describing. I feel like we get so attached to our dreams that we miss everything that God's doing in our lives and all the opportunities. And you know, I believe in fairly bold steps, and it looks like you reach this new chapter in your life by taking fairly bold steps. And when you decided to start this podcast, this new podcast, that's already a huge success. And I think that in a way, I think this is the result of those reels that you created before, because in a way you were preparing for this. I do believe that God prepares us in non-traditional ways. But how did that first fairly bold step look for you? When was the time when you decided to start your podcast that you were, or did you ever doubt it of, do you doubt of, is this going to happen again? Are people not going to like me? Am I going to be the right fit? Did you struggle with that insecurity coming back? And if so, how did you overcome that to get to this amazing podcast that you have today?
Yeah. First off, thank you so much for sweet words. Thank you so much. That's so encouraging. I'm like so encouraged being on this podcast. Thank you. I think 1,000%. I think every single day it was scary, right? I think there's something to be said. If I'm not doing anything, like if I'm not working towards my dream, I get into the state of feeling stuck, right? That's what happened to me for many years, where I felt stuck. I started feeling bitter because I wasn't living a life of purpose. I wasn't going after, I feel like, what I was designed to do, essentially, you know, this area, I wasn't touching it at all, right? I was running away from it. I was trying to reinvent myself and do all these other things. And I know how painful it is. And it was such a pain. It was so painful to be just going to a 9-to-5 that is related nothing to what you love to do, right? And not even walking, you know, because sometimes you can be in a role and you're like, no. And even, and let me put a little disclaimer there. Every role you do, even things that are not related, it's going to be used for your good, right? And it's going to be used to be, you're becoming who you're supposed to be, right? But I will say that when you're like running away and not trying to do the thing that you know in your spirit, because I feel like we all know that we know, like, I feel like, you know, there's certain things that make us all feel like alive, right? Where you're like, oh my God, I feel so alive doing this. I feel so excited. You feel re-energized, right? And when you are like doing a nine to, in my case, I was doing like 9-to-5s that had nothing to do with that. And it was just draining my energy. And I wasn't even doing that on the sides or on the weekends or taking any steps at night or in the mornings or on the weekends towards the things that, you know, towards this. I would start feeling stuck and I would start feeling bitter. I would start feeling almost resentful. I would start feeling just like, what if, you know, wondering about the what ifs. It became such a painful state to be in that I knew how painful it was. And I feel like in September I saw a sermon, and it was a sermon that, I don't know, sometimes you'll hear a sermon and it'll just speak to your soul. And,
yes.
You know, and I there was a sermon that Pastor T.D. Jakes gave, and it just spoke to my soul. And I just knew without the shadow of a doubt that he was telling me, like, go back to that thing. Like, there, go back to that thing that you're running away from. There will be provision there. And I just something about it just stuck. And I was like, oh my God, I need to do this thing. You know, like, I need to be obedient and I need to do this thing. And I feel like once I was like, I need to do this thing because I, like that, it wasn't even about me anymore. It's like, I just really need to do this thing and explore this. And then when I started taking step up, like little, even if it's a little tiny step, I started taking one little tiny step and one little tiny step. And then it turned into like an avalanche, right? Like quickly, like a snowball. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, this thing is really happening. Like all the tools, the resources, everything started coming. And I'm so glad it did, because, I think it is a new season. I'm so grateful for it. And I, like I said, I think it's just the pain, I know the pain of the what if, and it's so nasty. It's so much worse than I've realized than going, even though fear of failure is a real thing that I dealt with for all these years. And that's why the podcast is about fear of failing, you know, or failing again, you know, and it was the pain of being in a stuck season is just so, so painful that it outweighs, you know, the possibility of possibly failing.
Oh, that is amazing. You've just given me like 5 quotes for Instagram, good. Let me tell you.
Good, yay.
How can you deal with that? Or maybe not necessarily you, but I feel like you have a great experience dealing with failure and then going at it again, like jumping back on the horse. How can someone who dealt with failure before, sometimes it can be your career, sometimes can be a relationship where you get hurt and then you might be afraid of trying again. And in this case, going for your dream, and now I can see, you know, from an outsider's perspective that this was amazing, this was a success, but then internally I can assume that there's a lot of self-doubt, a lot of self-questioning. How can someone who's listening and who's like me, like, man, I'm that person, how can that person move on and get over that fear of what if it happens again?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. I know sometimes I'm like, I ponder on this question actually. And so that's so funny that you asked that. No, I think failure is such a scary thing, right? Because nobody wants to be rejected. That's the truth. Like I don't want to be rejected. I'm pretty sure you don't want to be rejected. None of us want to be rejected, right? We don't want to fail. And sometimes the thing is, like you said earlier, sometimes we're our worst enemies, right? Like we have all these like, oh my God, these people are watching me. Oh my God, you know, fulanita de tal is watching me, or whatever the case is. And the truth is, it's like, they're not, I mean, they may be watching you a little bit, to be honest with you, but it's not to the level that you think it is, right? And I think once you get okay, this is I just thought of a quote that a friend told me when I was like in the process of starting the podcast, and I was like, oh my God, I want it to be perfect. I want it to be good. He was like, you know, the truth is whenever you do something the first time, it's going to be sucky, right? But after that, it's going to get better. You have to start somewhere. So the truth is everyone, no matter the cool, like whoever you aspire to be or whoever is your role model, or the person that you look up to the most, like in our case, like podcast, whatever podcast you think is the best podcast, at some point they started and they didn't feel ready, right? And they went ahead and did it. And maybe if you listen to episode one, in my case, like if I listen to episode one of Jenna Kutcher's The Gold Digger, it might not be the best. You know what I mean? Like I'll probably find a lot of errors, but she started, right? And from there, you can't get to step B without step A, right? So I feel like that liberated me from perfectionism and from feeling like I have to wait to start it and then getting back and trapped in analysis paralysis, which is, it's always been a big problem for me, like getting stuck thinking and not doing and taking action. And then I don't know if I'm really answering the question, but simple execution was a word that me and my husband have like a word every year. And last year we felt like that was the word, like simple, it wasn't a word, but it was a phrase, but simple mm-hmm. execution, you know, because we both tend to be perfectionism. I know that I want everything to look great, but the truth is, how does that saying go? Done is better than perfect.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh, it's true. Done is better than perfect. And I'm always trying to be the best at whatever. And, but no, I know the fear is definitely real of feeling, especially like I felt if I go back into journalism and it isn't great, people are going to be like, oh my gosh, she's a journalist and it's not even good, you know? And mm-hmm. I think it's just, that's a great question, man. I think it's just every day taking a little step without thinking too much about it, just taking a step in the right direction, just be like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And if I fail, and the other thing is, I almost forgot something that helped me a huge amount was the realization that every successful person failed, right? And that's what mm-hmm. the podcast is actually about. Because I used to always think like, man, all these successful women that I look up to, these anchors, these national news reporters and executive producers and all these people, all these successful people, they're a different breed of woman or person. They're just, they have it all together and I don't, I'm a hot mess. You know, that's what I used to really believe. Right. And then in the last few years, I've realized, oh my gosh, no, every single person, those highly successful people, every single person that I look up to, that we all look up to, every successful person has a bunch of failures behind their name, right? Like I don't know any successful person that has never failed at anything in their life. If they have, like, if you don't, you possibly don't know that they have because it's not publicized, right? But in their personal life or in their private life, they've failed at things. And that's the truth, right? You like, failure is a stepping stone towards success is what I believe, right? And what I've learned. It's not even what I believe, it's what I've learned. Like everyone, the more I've watched these people over the years, it's like, we all fail. So can we just normalize this conversation? Can we just normalize failure? Because if we all realize that, you know, it's scary to, like in my case, it's so scary to start a podcast and it could fail at the podcast, but guess what? Maybe in 2 years I'll start a TV show and that'll be great, you know? But like, if we all realize every single person has all these failures behind them and it's normal, it's part of success. You cannot be successful without failure. If we all normalize this conversation and like realize that that's the truth, then it makes it less scary, I think.
I love it. And it's so true. I don't know. I read somewhere that if your first product is perfect, then you started too late. I think that if you had a designer, actually an interior designer in your show, and something that I thought of was, it's better the designer that has 1,000 or 100 projects, one is mediocre and the others are amazing, but it's a variety of projects. That designer with 100 projects is going to go further than the designer who did one amazing project but never did it again.
Right.
So that gives you a lot of perspective of like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be, and I need to be okay with being uncomfortable. We are not okay with being uncomfortable. I think we're too comfortable today with everything. If, you know, uncomfort gives us allergy. So
yeah.
We don't want uncomfort at any level.
Right. I agree with that.
Well, Paula, thank you so much for being here. You've been amazing. I knew that this was going to be a great conversation. I just didn't imagine that it was going to be this good. Please tell everyone where they can go find you and connect with you.
Yes. So they can, to listen to the podcast, you can go to, you know, anywhere where you listen to podcasts and just simply type in, "But First She Failed." And, you know, you find it on Apple or Spotify. And then for social media, you can find me on, the "But First She Failed" is the handle. So just simply look up for "But First She Failed" and, in Instagram. And then you can find, you know, my personal page as well as the "But First She Failed" community page, Instagram page. So that's where you can find me.
That is exciting. And we're going to be in a few years, and I'm going to be like, the Jenna Kutcher of 2022 was on my podcast.
Yeah.
This is so exciting.
Same, I know, right?
Thank you so much for your time, Paola.
Oh my God, thank you. Thank you, Henia.
Thank you so much for listening and for joining me today. If you love this episode, consider subscribing. It really helps the show grow. Please share it with two friends that are on a journey to recover from failure, because I know it will be a blessing for them. I would love to connect with you on my Instagram at Eugenia Wu, that's EugeniaWoo. Send me a DM and tell me, what was your favorite part of today's show? I can't wait to see you back soon.